to other business. Our first item of other business is Midway Hotel on Bryan Drive preliminary site plan.
This is now a preliminary site plan for the construction of a four-story hotel with 85 rooms and a 130-space parking lot. The site consists of 1.61 acres and presently contains many storage facilities, which will be removed. The hotel would consist of approximately 53,000 square feet. Property has access to Bryan Drive, serving Midway Estates, and private access road associated with the nearby shopping malls. The site is served with central water and sewer. The property is zoned C1, general commercial, and is also served within the combined highway corridor overlay zone and the ES1 environmentally sensitive zone. Tax parcel is 334-6-144-01, and we are awaiting agency approvals.
All right. I'm assuming that the four-story is within the C1 zoning code.
Yes, it does meet the height restriction.
There's no, you don't need a retail or anything like that?
Not to my knowledge.
I do have one comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I have one too, but you go first.
On the site plan that was submitted to us, the name of the road is misspelled.
Bryan.
It's with a Y instead of an I.
It is, that's right.
So you might want to make note of that for the future.
The only comment I have to make is that, you know, when you're getting old, when people come in and they're tearing stuff down that you built for them years ago. All my mini stories built, it's going to be torn down. Wow.
Well, at least it's not falling now. I mean, yeah, it could be a lot more.
That's what I'm saying. You know you're getting old when they start tearing your stuff down.
How long ago was that?
Oh, man. Long time.
Almost. It's been right a good while.
Probably 30.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I had a lot more hair back then.
Well, now that we've walked down
memory lane.
Lane.
Yeah,
spelling lesson.
Yeah, spelling lesson. Go ahead.
I was a sixth grade spelling champ. One more than two syllables, I could spell it.
Mr. Chairman, considering Midway Hotel on Bryan Drive, my motion is for approval of a preliminary site plan.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve Midway Hotel on Bryan Drive, preliminary site plan.
I'm okay with it being final.
With final by the staff, subject to receipt of all other permits. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay, then. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. All right, our next item is Urschel Miller Collision Center on Sussex Highway, preliminary site plan.
This also is a preliminary site plan for construction of two commercial buildings for automobile repair services with an additional 31-space parking lot and impoundment area. Combined square footage of the buildings would consist of approximately 14,000 square feet, and it would be situated on a 14.01-acre site. An existing commercial building with a small parking lot would remain on the site that's located toward the front area. Property is owned LI2, light industrial, is subject to the combined highway corridor overlay zoning requirements. Tax parcel identification number is 532-1380.04. And we are also awaiting agency approvals and a landscape plan for this site.
That's what I didn't notice was the landscaping around, and since it's a collision center, you might be worried about, the appearance and the junkiness of it all. I like the chain link fence. I guess that's locked when the business hours are closed.
I don't know if that's the plan, but I'm sure if it's an impoundment area, it's going to be locked.
Yeah, it's very professionally done. Okay. You guys okay with it, Dan?
I think it's great bringing a business from Maryland into Delaware.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Chairman. I move that we approve the preliminary site plan for the Miller Collision Center on Sussex Highway with the final by staff upon receipt of agency approvals and the landscape plan.
Second.
We Move and second to approve Herschel Miller Collision Center on Sussex Highway as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all the permits and the landscaping plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, okay. The next one is Ocean 7 on Coastal Highway. This is a conditional use number 1764, preliminary site plan.
This also is a preliminary site plan for the construction of 7 townhouse-style multifamily units to be situated on a .61-acre site. Each unit will contain approximately 2,800 square feet with 3 total parking spaces per unit being provided on site. The site will be serviced with central sewer and water service. The site is located on the Coastal Highway Route 1, just south of the Bethany Beach town limits. Property is zoned MR. The use as multifamily is a conditional use. The Planning Commission recommended approval of the conditional use at their meeting on February 26, 2009. County Council approved CU 1764 with conditions on March 17, 2009. Tax parcel identification number is 134-1707-190. We are waiting approvals for from the appropriate agencies. And this site plan is subject to a time limit and would expire, if not substantially underway, by July 1st, 2016. Thank you.
Mr. Brandon, what agency approvals are we waiting on?
Well, I think DLDOT for the entrance plan, Conservation District, State Fire Marshal, I think those are the main three.
I'm just, given the date of their, that they have to be substantially on the way, I'm wondering, are they going to get them in time?
We think it's going to be close.
It's going to be very tight for them to get it, but they are making the attempt.
To do it.
To do it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant the preliminary site plan for Ocean 7 on Coastal Highway with a final by staff upon receipt of approvals from the appropriate agencies.
Second. It's moved and seconded to approve Ocean 7 on Coastal Highway, conditional use 1764 as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all of the permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Pelican Point Amenities. This is subdivision 2013-6 and 7, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of a pool, clubhouse, outdoor lounge, play area, multi-use courts, and a 23-space parking lot. It will be situated on a 3.5-acre lot, or open space C, as it's shown on the final plan. The recreation amenities are being shifted from one open space area to another, from G to E, with the latter site being more centrally located within the Pelican Point subdivision. This recreational area is located at the intersections of Hatteras Drive and Pelican Point Boulevard and Tarpon Drive. Property is zoned AR1. Tax parcel identification number is 234-1621.05. We are also waiting agency approvals from the reviewing agencies as well on this site.
Well, this is one of those projects that have been through many changes over the years, and I think that what they're proposing now is superior to what we had previously approved, for those changes. So I think finally to me would better serve the community, in all likelihood would be built sooner rather than later where it was currently situated. So I'm definitely in favor of it. Now, is this one that we can do the final subject to you, or do we have to see it back again? I know some RPCs we gotta keep coming back to us.
This is a standard subdivision, so it can come, staff can approve if so you choose.
Okay, well, I so choose. So, Mr. Chairman, concerning Pelican Point Amenities 2013-6 and 2013-7, my motion is for approval of the preliminary site plan with the final be subject to the staff receiving all the agency approvals.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve Pelican Point Amenities subdivision 2013-6 and 7 preliminary site plan. as a final, subject to receipt of all the permits. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next item is lands of Virginia Young on Rehoboth Boulevard, minor subdivision off of 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision to allow for the creation of a 2.13-acre lot and a 50-foot easement. The residual will be 22.377 acres. The easement will need to utilize the existing driveway. The adjacent parcel uses the existing driveway as access. There should be a maintenance agreement for the road, and staff notes that any further subdivision shall require a major subdivision. The property is zoned AR1. The tax district is 330, map 11, parcel 46, and staff is awaiting approval from DLDOT.
Is it lot one that they're...
Yes.
So what about the house?
The house is existing, so they're looking to create a new parcel around the house.
Where's the parcel, I guess? Okay, so it's not...
And this is the other parcel, and then that is the other parcel.
This is the property line?
Correct. The wavy line at the top with the letters and numbers is the north property line.
Chairman, considering the lands of Virginia Young on Rehoboth Boulevard, my motion is for approval with maintenance agreement for the road being put in place, and that any further subdivision will require a major subdivision, and a final granted by staff approving approval from DLDOT.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve minor subdivision off of 50-foot easement for lands of Virginia Young on Rehoboth Boulevard with the stipulation stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The next item is Delaware Animal Products LLC interpretation of similarity in use.
This is a request to determine if a proposed use could be considered a similar use within the LI2 light industrial zoning district. The proposed use of reprocesses of wood into mulch and fine mulch for animal bedding could be considered a similar use to the permitted use of wood product manufacture, including baskets, boxes, crates, barrels, and veneer.
Under the LI2 ordinance, this is a little bit different than most, or I should say the ordinance, under the LI2 district in the code. It's a little bit different than other districts because there's actually a provision in here. They list... I forget, I counted them at one point. It's probably, I don't know, maybe 75 different uses in LI2. But then there's a catch-all that says, where in the judgment of the commission, a use is not specifically referenced but is similar to those listed as permitted, it may be permitted by approval of the commission. And the letter, as Ms. Cornwell talked about, lists other permitted uses in LI2. The concern here is what they want to do is not permitted in LI1, and you can't apply for a conditional use in LI1. So they want to rezone it to LI2, hoping that it's similar enough to the use that they'll be able to go forward with those operations. What they don't want to do is apply for the LI2 rezoning, get the rezoning, and then be told, well, congratulations, you got your rezoning, but you can't do what you want to do.
And that would make perfect sense
yeah.
to me. Just understanding what both processes are, I think there is a fair amount of similarity to it. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I'm good with it.
Was there a complaint? Is that why we're here?
Well, the difficulty is that it's LI1 now. LI1 is typically all inside walls, basically, or enclosed solid fencing. And this is something that has to be done pretty much in the open. Outside.
Like mulching and stuff like that, like the other stuff that's allowed in LI2. So, I mean, it's similar, if you ask me.
And LI1 is most restricted in industrial district that we have. And
right.
I mean, and there's stuff like grain blending and packaging, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that are, you know, they're not identical, obviously.
But similar process.
Yeah, similar.
Done
right.
In a similar way and in a similar setting, and that's really what you're talking about. It It's appropriate for LI two, I think. Probably not for LI one, but it's appropriate for LI two.
Well, they would have to make application for LI two. They don't want to take the step and they thought it may be considered.
That makes way too much sense, which I guess is why we probably shouldn't do it, but I'm going to say we should.
Yeah, and just so it's clear in the record in the minutes too, that by making this determination, it's not a final determination on the rezoning.
No, it's not nothing to do with the rezoning. We're just being asked to make an interpretation about the similarity of use. That's all we're doing is the zoning application be completely different.
But by us saying it's similar, can they do the operation?
Because it's not permitted on that property.
Come back on the rezoning, but I think it's certainly, it's fair for them to ask the question now and really go through the whole process. But just answering this question, it has no bearing on the zoning application at all.
Yeah. And I think rather than have the formal vote, like Lawrence points out, it's probably wise just to sort of have a consensus on it.
We have a consensus that it's similar.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I know we've had in the past other pallets. Other companies that wanted to do the spreading of pallets, we turned them down. But
three nods and two yeses, I think
that's a consensus.
I don't know that that's anywhere in Robert's rules of order, but I think that the record just shows that there was a consensus of the commission.
There you go. Let the record show that there was a consensus of the commission.
The shorter line was the nods.
That's indeed.
The parliamentarian in me struggled with nods.
I know. I understand because you don't know which nod it was.
Yeah.
Last we were talking about.
No, it was clear for the
record.
Well, I think we're in agreement that there is a consensus that the use is, in fact, similar to other uses in the LI2. And
let's ask it this way. Is there any objection to it being a consensus?
I think it would. The minutes could note that there was no discussion that it would not be a similar use.
Right. And it was a consensus that it was.
There you go.
Very good.
All right, then. Beach Fire Brewery on Central Avenue. Review of parking layout with preliminary site plans requested by County Council. This is sort of something that doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully understand this because there's a process with conditional uses. You're approving the use.
Right.
The commissions make a recommendation on the use, and then council approves the use. And then, and Doug, for your benefit, the way it works is we make a recommendation on the conditional use. Council approves or denies a conditional use. If they're approved, they've got to come back with a preliminary site plan that meets all the code. And if it doesn't meet the code, it doesn't get approved. Well, it probably wouldn't come to you all because staff had said that's what we
cut.
For some reason, council has said we want a preliminary determination of whether or not
it meets the parking requirements before they make a final decision regarding the conditional use.
Well, what's the staff recommendation on it?
Get the paragraph on the record.
Yeah.
And I just would add that the council's concern was the square footage of the tasting area or the patron area. And they've gone back in and recalculated the number, and the parking is reduced somewhat of what you really didn't see because they really didn't have a plan. They just said they were going to put in five spaces here and two there or whatever. It's been reduced. And the paragraph will explain part of that. And then it's just the council's concern was, does the parking plan work before they grant consideration? So what we proposed in the way it's presented is that you're looking at the parking consideration, and you could also give it consideration as a conceptual preliminary plan, basically, so you don't have to see it again if you don't want to. So
I will say that I have a concern about that, and not so much on this application. It's not from what staff's done at all. I mean, I don't want to
start a precedent.
Yeah, well, because the problem is that nobody designs or engineers a site or a building to the detail of square footage at the time you're going through the public hearing process to know precisely what your parking requirements would be. I mean, you could say on this one it's small enough that you could maybe have done it because it wouldn't be that big a deal or whatever. But, if you have a shopping center or some large commercial thing, you're never going to know how that floor plan is going to be laid out because nobody's going to invest that kind of energy in designing it until they know they've gotten approval. I don't want to hold up these people, but I've got some concerns about council taking a step that's outside what's set forth in our code and requiring something that's, you know, not really required.
What the council saw, same thing you saw, was basically a 50 by 100 lot with a building and not much of a parking layout, and that's where the concern came about.
Well, but the parking, the conformance to the ordinance will be verified by the staff. I mean, that's part of the application process, part of the approval process, right? Once it's...
Well, it is, and it allows the applicant the flexibility to finalize a design and square footage, and whether it's a restaurant or whether it's an automobile repair shop, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it is a calculation. But I agree with Mr. Robertson. I mean, we wouldn't want to put people in a position where now they have to engineer this thing to a preliminary site plan status or whatever.
What's the appropriate action for us here? Can we remand it to the staff and just say?
Well, I think in this case it's safe because they've come back in with the design, and it seems like it needs code, I think, from reading the notes.
Yes, they have an architectural plan done by an architect showing the exact dimensions for the tasting room, which would be the patron area, and then the other parking spaces would be based on the number of employees. They actually even submitted a preliminary site plan for review that clearly shows the parking layout for the site, and that the parking, they are providing 6 parking spaces, one of which is a handicap parking spaces. 4 parking spaces are located in the front of the building. The other 2 are located along the side of the building. The parking calculation for a bar is 1 parking space for every 50 square feet of patron area and 1 for every 2 employees on the larger shift. The applicant, the floor plan done by a licensed architect is 236 square feet. That parking calculation requires 5 parking spaces. The number of employees on the largest shift would be 2, which requires 1 parking space. So again, the total number of parking spaces required and provided on the site is 6. So the parking layout does comply with the zoning ordinance.
Well, so we really don't have to take any action. Just give that to the council and their answer.
Yeah, I'm back to that same question. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's 2 choices. You know, one is you just say, we don't think it's appropriate to take any action on this, which to me sort of puts these applicants in a hamster wheel a little bit where they're not getting anywhere, potentially. I don't know. The other would be to say, yeah, it's in compliance with the code, but I'm worried that then, you know, the next time it comes up, they're going to do the same thing.
Well, I think,
I guess the third option is it does comply, so you don't do anything, you just send this back up to them to show, you know, take a look at the plan, council.
I have a concern, too, because of the different square footage that we provided. In our public hearing, it was 390 square feet was the tasting room. Now they come back with conveniently 236, which would allow them to...
Basically, they had to reduce it because they couldn't get the parking.
Yeah,
they redesigned the site as the layout of the floor area as well.
Right. I mean, so do we?
You could have done that.
When we do calculations of a restaurant or a bar, do we count the bar area also behind the counter?
We do for final site plan, but we've never done that on a conditional use.
You count the bar area if it's utilized by the patron. You do not count the area behind the bar. That's
not.
That is
employee space.
Okay, that's why I want clarification, because looking at their design, they're just doing the floor area. But what they presented to us was 2 four-top tables of 8 people and 12 bar stools. So they're talking about 20 people.
They included the bar area in their design.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Are we talking about a lower capacity, or are we going to cram 20 people in there? And
yeah, but that, you know... Think about on a commercial anything, you know, if we're on a conditional use, I mean, do we ever get into interior spaces, really, you know, like square footage and tables? And
well, based on the calculation provided by the applicant.
We get developers come back with a preliminary, and they've reduced the number, or final, reduced the number of lots by 20, 30, 50 units. I mean, that's the flexibility that's provided, you know, first get the approval and then finalize the size and scope of the business. I don't think that's all unusual. What's unusual is to say, well, finalize the final scope of your business before we give you for approval. And as Mr. Robinson points out, that puts everybody in.
The point is, the ordinance has to be adhered to. They have to follow whatever's in the ordinance. Once they get approved, their final site plan has to comply with the ordinance. So,
because we discussed that public hearing.
Make that determination at this level. That's a staff function. They review, they determine whether or not it meets the ordinance. So, I mean, I think where we are is that, I don't know what to say, okay. I mean, it's just okay. We've looked at it, and staff tells us that that we're good on the third plan, so we're good.
No action to be taken.
I mean, I know the way to do it, but my curious question is, was council present was legal counsel present when they made this decision to send
it back? Yes, they were. They were.
Nobody spoke up to the idea that maybe it wasn't it was kind of outside the box.
Site plan related?
They don't have, maybe their attorney's not as sharp as ours. I don't know.
Oh, poor Evan.
That seemed like that came back and smacked me.
We love you, man. When you're president.
Getting back to this, though, because the thing is, you know, what's concerning about this, and this is why the process, again, for Doug's benefit, you know, if you on a plan like this, it's going to get preliminary, or it's going to get approved as a conditional use by council. It's going to still have to go through DelDOT's entrance. Stormwater management, the whole thing could change. You know, that's why that you come back at the preliminary site plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a, it's not a question for, it's not a question for a conditional use approval. I mean, you either approve it as a conditional use or you don't. It's their job to make it work after that, not before that. You know, I don't know how do we send that message.
I think they'll figure it out.
You know.
I mean, the way it was teed up is that it was...
What do they want us to do?
Well, that we approve the parking, sort of sign off on the parking, and also I know staff had said, if approved by council, that you'd be granting preliminary site plan approval.
If the council chooses to approve the conditional use application, commission and staff feel that this parking layout is appropriate for this site. Based on the presentation and the site plan submitted.
We need a motion?
I just said it. Oh, I need somebody to say it.
So move.
What he said. I can't do it. You have to do it.
What do you think, Jeff?
Would that then grant preliminary site plan approval contingent on approval of the conditional use and then maybe final site plan approval?
Unbelievable.
Contingent to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals to just help this applicant get through the process?
You could do that, yeah. I mean, you could do it as a preliminary approval contingent on
parking.
Approve the preliminary
site plan. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I was just.
Conditional use approval by the council? Come on. That's just not our process.
I was trying to think of a way that these people got hung up and tried to unhung them up.
We make a land use decision, right? And then we do the preliminary site plan approval. That's the process. And for us to throw this thing around, you know, I think that, you know, to me, you've gotten the information the council really asks for, right? And to not convolute the process.
Because then we're just doing what we're complaining and council did.
I don't think we really need to take any action.
Yeah, we don't take any action.
You know, the staff and the applicant has already kind of solved the question. Just go back to the council with that solution and say, here this is. Because if we start to try to do a preliminary site plan approval before we've even done the land use, that's just silly.
Yeah. And then, like I said, we're going outside of what the code says ourselves. So.
They can change the code and then do it the way they want.
You're right.
So
good. No action. Referring back to our public hearings.
No action.
Yeah.
Okay. Our first public hearing was conditional use number 2049 Blue Claw LLC.
That's a staff recommendation now, not a council.
Mr. Chairman, concerning conditional use number 2049 Blue Claw, my motion is for deferral for further consideration by the commission.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2049 Blue Claw LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
G, make a second.
Next item is subdivision 2016-2, Estates at Cedar Grove, BDRP LLC.
Mr. Chairman, my motion is for deferral at this time, but I'd like to leave the record open for 15 days for written comments concerning sewer agreement.
Just written comments.
Written comments.
Discussion. If we're going to have the, allow the record to remain up for 15 days for the homeowners association to respond in writing, should we not extend the courtesy to the applicant, the ability to respond to that?
We're leaving the record open for 15 days, period.
Right.
For anybody that wants to.
Right, but how's the applicant, the developer, going to be able to, if they come in on the 14th day?
You want to have time to respond to written comments?
They need to be able to have time to be able to respond to that. You know, because based on what they present to us, we've done that with the public and it's been information that we've sought from public agencies.
I thought we've done it. Yeah. See, that's what I think is the difference, though. I think we've done it when we were waiting for agency stuff to come in.
Right.
And then said that after that is received, they have so many days. In this instance, I don't know that we have to provide an opportunity for a rebuttal. That's our decision. They're not entitled to a rebuttal. They only get one if we decide to give them one.
That's why I said courtesy. It would not be appropriate to extend that.
I don't know that it's all that. I'm not sure what the applicant would have, based on the issues they're talking about, what the applicant would be able to say about it. I mean, that would make a difference. How would you do it? Say 15 days and then 15 days? Or
15 days and 10 days.
Yeah.
Might be worth doing because this stops here, doesn't go to council.
That's true. I'm thinking about that too.
And that way, if there's an issue between the easement for the sewer, that's what the deal is the sewer. With the capacity, how it impacts the Reddings and all that. And so there might be a situation.
Well, do you want to limit it then to written comments from the Reddings development?
I think so. I mean, because so, that's who has, I think we should limit it. That's what they were asking for, was the homeowners association.
Yeah, the homeowners association.
But then, I don't think we need to give the applicant 15 more days. 10 should be enough. I mean, you will give the Reddings 15, give 10 for the applicant, and then close it.
That's my motion, 15 and 10.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2016-2, Estates at Cedar Grove, BDRP LLC, leaving the record open for 15 days for the Writings at Rehoboth Homeowners Association to submit written comments. And then after that, 15 days is up, providing a 10-day period for the applicant to respond in writing to those comments received. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was subdivision 2016-7, Wanda Weber.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to defer further consideration.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2016-7, Wanda Weber. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Ladies and gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening. We'll ask the staff if there's anything else for the good of the order.
I have one thing. I just heard late this afternoon that Rodney Smith's in the hospital and Vanessa General and reportedly that he may have had a heart attack. I didn't get any details, so I don't know if anybody's heard anything or not.
We did get a communication from him this afternoon that didn't say that he had a heart attack. It just said that the procedure was that he was there for was not going to work and that they needed to do surgery as soon as
possible. That's what I thought, because I remembered him saying that he had the surgery a few weeks ago or months ago or so, and he was going to have to go back to hospital for another surgery, and reportedly it was something like heart-related or something. And I think he was there for that, and I understood I was told he may have had a heart attack.
No, I'll read his text message.
Is there anything that's private?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll tell you what, since this really isn't germane to our business this evening, but Janelle has something that is.
Just a reminder that fair housing training is June 9th.
Oh, I wouldn't miss that for anything.
So if you are unable to attend, please let staff know. It is an all-day event.
That's right.
And that McCormick Taylor will be coming down that night, because that is also a planning commission night, to just give a brief update on the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
And you say June the 9th?
And those of us who hold real estate licenses.
I had it for June the 2nd.
For fair housing.
Thursday, June the 9th.
And those of us who won't be here for the listening to the tapes.
Stand adjourned. Peace to the prevailing.